So turn with me to John chapter 4 for a moment, would you? John chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 27. And the beginning part of that chapter, we read about Jesus meeting up with the Samaritan woman at the well and the conversation, the relationship that transpired there. And we're going to pick it up in verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, teacher, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of the Father." For Jesus, doing the will of God was more important than food. And I'm here to tell you today that doing God's will is important for you too. When people seek to know and do the will of God, many ask this kind of a question: what is God's will for my life? Perhaps unconsciously they focus on themselves, their own lives, and what they are to do. Has anybody ever asked God that question? "God, what is your will for my life?" I've asked that too. What is God's will for my life? Isn't necessarily the very best question to ask. I think the way we should word it is like this: God, what is your will? God, what is your... Leaving myself out of the equation. God, what is your will? Once you know God's will, then you can adjust your life to him and his purposes. In other words, what is it that God is purposing where I am? The focus needs to be on God and his purposes, not on me. Now, that doesn't mean that God has no will concerning your life. He absolutely, most certainly does. He has a purpose and a plan, but the plan he has for your life is based on what he is doing in the world. Does that make sense? We are a doing people. The idea of doing God's will sounds fairly exciting. And once in a while, someone will say, "Don't just stand there, do something." And some people are so busy doing things that they think will help God accomplish his purposes that he can't get their attention long enough to use them to accomplish what he wants. Anybody here guilty of that? Okay, if you're too chicken to put up your hand, I'll put up my hand first. And sometimes we wear ourselves out and accomplish very little of value for the kingdom. And God, in the meantime, is crying out to us and he's shouting to us, "Don't just do something. Stand there. Enter into a relationship with me. Get to know me. Adjust your life to me. Let me love you and reveal myself to you as I work through you. The time will come when the doing will be called for, but we cannot skip the relationship part of the equation. Are you guys in agreement with me on that? Okay, I need a little bit of like noise happening here because it's feeling very quiet. All right, that's better. The relationship with God must come first. Amen. Thank you. Now I'm feeling a little bit more energized. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, one of my favorite portions of Scripture, he said this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." And here's what he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Okay, apart from him, you can do nothing. The relationship is the key to walking out his will in this world. If you happen to be experiencing a time of fruitlessness right now in your life, you may be trying to do things on your own that God has not actually initiated. When we do that, the struggle comes. The weary work comes. God wants you to come to a greater knowledge of him by actually experiencing him in your life. He wants to establish a love relationship with you. He wants to involve you in his kingdom purposes, and he wants to accomplish his work through you. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are the ones that he uses to accomplish his purpose in this world, in this church, in this city, in this community. Whether you like it or not, you need to be open and ready and willing to do his will. Notice what Jesus has to say concerning those who have exhausted themselves by trying to do things in their own strength. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, he says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." I can't think of more beautiful words that Jesus could ever speak. He's telling us he's gentle and he's humble in heart. And he wants us not to be weary, but to find rest in him. Now, his invitation for us is to get into his yoke with him. And that's not Y-O-L-K, that's Y-O-K-E. Get into his yoke with him, to get involved in his work. Now, I don't know, I've never been a farm girl, and personally, I've never seen two cows walking around with a yoke over their necks, but I don't know if they're still the same today as they were in Jesus' day, but a yoke would have been a wooden piece that would have extended over the cross of two oxen or two cows with a loop underneath their necks. They would have been joined together. Fasten those two animals together. And the purpose of that was for them to pull together, to do the work together, to carry the load in two equal portions. There would be a balance. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, take my yoke upon you. Let's do this work together. You are not to do this alone. You are not to step ahead of me. We are to be yoked together. We are to work together in tandem. When you work where he is already working, He accomplishes his work with and through you in such a way that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Isn't that a good thing to know? When we allow ourselves to be yoked to him, to work with him, to work alongside him, to not do it all on our own, the burden is easy. I find that we're always asking God for a detailed roadmap. Well, some of us are anyways. We say, Lord, if you can tell me where I'm headed, then I will be able to set my course and go. Has anybody ever said that to the Lord? And what Jesus is saying is, is this. He's saying, you don't need to. What you need to do is follow me one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Thank goodness I just heard somebody say. We need to come to the place where our response to God will be, Lord, just tell me what to do one step at a time and I will do it. Not give me the whole detailed plan, not give me the roadmap, not give me options to turn here and there and do my own whatever it is, but tell me one step at a time what you purpose for me to do so that I can be in your will and I will do it. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Jesus didn't say, I will show you the way. Jesus didn't say, I will give you a roadmap to the way. He said, I am the way. Jesus knows the way because he is your way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. If you were doing everything that Jesus tells you to do one day at a time, you would be right in the center of God, where God wants you to be. Doesn't that ring to a life of simplicity and rest? Here's my question for you. Can you trust God to guide you in that way? Can you leave here today and purpose in your heart and in your mind and your spirit that I am going to throw that roadmap out, I'm going to throw my directions for my life out, and I am going to listen for Jesus. He's going to give me one step at a time, and that is how I'm going to walk out my life. Can you actually do that? Can you let go of the reins? When you get to the place where you trust Jesus to guide you one step at a time, you know what you discover? You have freedom. The responsibility is not on your shoulders alone. Remember, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. If you don't trust Jesus to guide you this way, what happens if you don't know the way you are to go? You worry every time that you must make a turn. You can have your plan. You can have your roadmap. But if you've not taken the time to be in his presence, to get a sense of his direction, you will worry. Is this the right thing I'm supposed to be doing? Is this the way I'm to go? Is this what I'm to be doing? We often freeze up and we can't make a decision. And that is not the way God intended for us to lead our lives. So, we talked about doing his will, and what I want to look at now is being his servant. In John 12 and 26, it says, this is Jesus, whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. That's you. You are his servants. Amen? Amen. Say this. I am a servant of Jesus.
I am a servant of Jesus.
Say it again. Hold on, I want to make sure everybody's lips are moving. Keep going. I am a
servant of Jesus.
Okay, that is good. To be involved in God's work, you must be a servant. Listen to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's our Jesus. He humbled himself. He was obedient to the Father. His food was doing the will of his Father. And we are to develop the servant attitude of Christ, which calls for humility and obedience. And those two character traits are not things that we see too often in our society. Humility and obedience. But that is how we are to be. We are servants of the Most High God. In his instructions to his disciples about servanthood, Jesus described his own role of service in Matthew chapter 20. He says, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. This is where the disciples were kind of arguing about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, right? I got my own plan. I got my own roadmap. I'm going to sit at his right hand, you know? And this is Jesus' response. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus kind of emphasized that by saying in John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. As Jesus was, we need to follow in his footsteps. We are servants of the Most High God. Our understanding of a servant of God should be like the potter and the clay. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 18 for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 18. I'm making you work today. I'm making you turn pages. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declare the Lord? To be useful, the clay has to be moldable. This was an analogy of us as clay in the potter's hands. So the clay has to be moldable. It has to be soft. It has to be pliable. And once it's made into a specific vessel, it has to remain in the hand of the potter to be used. Clay that is not moldable is not useful. Are you soft and pliable in the hands of the master potter? Or are you stiff and unpliable, not willing to change? So the cup or the vessel has to be in the potter's hands so the potter can use it in any way he chooses. When you come to God as his servant, he first wants you to allow him to mold and change you into the instrument of your choosing or his choosing. That's right. And then, it's then that he can take your life and put it where he wills and work through it to accomplish his purposes. Just as a cup molded by the potter can't do anything on its own, you don't have any ability to do the command of the Lord except to be where he wants you to be. As you obey, he does his work through you. Amen? Amen. With God working through his servant, that servant can do absolutely anything that God can do. Okay? This is you I'm talking about here. As you allow yourself to be thrown onto that potter's wheel and allow our master potter to shape you and mold you into a beautiful vessel for his will and his purposes, you will be able to do anything that he can do. There is unlimited potential in this room. There is unlimited potential. If everybody was here on a Sunday, one day before I die, everybody will be here on a Sunday at the same time. Please, pass the word. If you're listening to this message because you're not here today. Yeah. With God working through all of us together, there is unlimited potential to what he can do. And you know what? That is evidenced by what took place this past week. We have been praying, okay? Yep. We have been praying. We have a prayer ministry here that prays for you. Yeah. Come on. That prays for prodigals to come. Who has prodigals in this house that they want to come to see back in the kingdom of God? We're praying for the prodigals. Who has people in their family, in their workplaces, in their circle of friends that have never come to Jesus yet and you want to see them come to Jesus? Put up your hand. Family, whatever. Okay? We're praying for salvation to come. In this house, not just in this house, we're praying for every church in this city that are Bible-believing, born-again people. Well, what am I saying? Any church. That people will be coming into the kingdom of God exponentially in this year. We're not going to hoard it for ourselves. No. I don't think that's what God expects us to do, right? We want to spread it out. Heavens to Betsy, that would be a lot of work if everybody that got saved in this city came to Gateway on a Sunday morning. That would be, yeah, we need to share it. Amen? We have been praying for salvation. And last Sunday, beautiful Paige gave her life to Jesus. And on Wednesday night, Ray did too. That was something to behold, to watch that take place. There was, I think, 13 or 14 of us in the room, and all I had to do was say to Ken, Ray's a seeker, because I knew if I said to Ken, Ray was a seeker, that man had no chance. And sure enough, Ken went in right in front of us all. That guy was sitting there, and Ken just asked him question after question until, are you ready? Is this your night? Are you ready? Yes. Can we pray with you? Sure. Here's a chair. Sit on it. And we gathered around him and laid hands on him and prayed him into the kingdom of God. We spoke words of life over him. We read scripture over him, and he made his own declaration of faith.
Amen.
And personally, I'm not satisfied with that being a history story in the next months. Remember that week when Paige and Ray gave their lives to Jesus? That was so awesome. No, let's see it. Regular. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting the supernatural to be natural in this house.
Amen.
Amen. There is amazing potential in this assembly. Each and every one of you, God has a will, his will, to be worked out in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Huh. So, I'm going to summarize for you. As you follow Jesus one day at a time, he will keep you in the center of God's will. Jesus is your way. You do not need any other roadmap. To be a servant of God, you must be moldable and you must remain in the Master's hands. Apart from God, you can do nothing. With God working through you, you can do anything that God purposes for you to do. I mean, anything. When you find out where the Master is, when you find out where the Master is, then you will know where you need to be. Ken's favorite all-time saying, like he said, prior to coming into the room on Wednesday night, God, show me where you're at work so that I can join you. Not, God, this is what I'm doing. Come and join me. No. God, show me where you're at work so that I can join you. Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on the cross. His food, Jesus' food, was to do the will of the Father. Which brings us to the Lord's table this morning. He said, Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And that is what we do. That is why we do this. We're being obedient. We do it to remember his sacrifice. He humbled himself. He came as a servant. And that was the problem. The people who were expecting the Messiah, were expecting a mighty warrior to come and destroy the Romans, conquer with an army. They were sorely disappointed with Jesus because he came as a servant. We are his servants. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Natalie, would you come? We're going to take part in communion this morning. Steve and Lisa, if you would come. So before we do that, as Natalie just is chording on the keyboard here, I want you to focus in on something that tugged at your heart this morning. What is it that God, your Father, wants you to walk away with today? What is it that you need to focus in on and right in this very moment lay before Him? Take a moment to examine your heart. What has your thought life been like? What has your heart attitude been like? What words have you been speaking out of your mouth? Just examine your heart. And if there's something, I know we talked about this on a Wednesday night. When we look at church history, when the revivals came, I mean, the revivals were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people came to Christ. You know what they were doing? People like us on a Wednesday night in the boiler room, they were repenting. Repentance is a precursor to revival. So if there's something that you need to leave with Jesus today, something that you need to confess, you know, just examine, Holy Spirit, if you examine your heart, the Holy Spirit's going to show you. Give it to Him. Come and receive your emblems this morning with a clear conscience, knowing that you've, you know, set things aside that Holy Spirit wanted you to set aside. And when you're ready, come on up and take your cup and the bread back to your seat, and we'll partake together. Thank you.